You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know what I've come to learn doing this show, Alan? That I think, on the whole, when it comes to trying to find what the best movies are that we get requests for Screener Squad, usually Asian cinema is the stuff that actually comes up with the best material.
Cause it seems to be the most, because like, what was the last one? A Cop, Gangster, and a Devil, or whatever that was?
That's a great movie. Yeah, that one was good, but then even other movies I've seen, like The Great Battle, which I reviewed last year, was actually really good, the one I did with Davey, and this one here, The Battle of Jengsari, I'm not going to say it's like the best movie I've seen, or even the best war movie I've seen in a while, but on the whole, when you think about Korean cinema and where it is right now, this is pretty darn good movie.
It's a really, I actually really enjoyed this. There's a lot about this movie that I genuinely enjoyed, and I was surprised because I was like, it's a Megan Fox Korean action movie. Oh god.
Well, that's the weird thing, like, when, okay, so for people who don't know, this is the movie The Battle of Jengsari. It's a, you know, it's a mostly Korean focused movie, but they're trying to have some degree of international appeal because they put in Megan Fox and George Eads from CSI in like pretty much three scenes in this entire movie.
Yeah, honestly. It's to kind of connect, basically, as much as it's focusing on the North and South Korean War, but it's also with the backdrop of this is also when America was involved in the Korean War, I guess, for to give it the international appeal, but yeah, it really is a small part of the movie.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things where I say that while I do enjoy quite a bit of this movie, there are still some warts and problems and issues with this movie that just hold it back from being truly great, or, you know, and that such, but just to give a little context here, Alan, why don't you try to explain, like, what's the general gist of this story?
Okay, so the general gist of this story is that there's an invasion happening on... I'm really bad with the name of this, so I'm just going to... The Battle of, like...
It's the Jengsari Beach, but it's part of the invasion of Incheon that happened in 1950.
So there's an invasion. Basically what it is that there's a boat with, like, 700, you know, soldiers. Not soldiers, probably bad. They're student soldiers. Basically, like, these are, like, hey, you can you hold a gun? Oh, you're in boot camp for like a day? Okay, cool. We're putting you in the front line.
Yeah, so, literally, they had like 10 days of training before this.
Yeah, and some people less. And so they're like, okay, your job is to take this beach. And these people are like barely know what they're doing. Like, they're all super confident because of course it is. It's almost like, think of like the first scene of Saving Private Ryan. It's kind of like that, but with like kids that are kind of overconfident. But yeah, they're trying to take over. Their mission is take this beach. And in the meanwhile, it cuts between Megan Fox, who's like, wait a second. We're Americans. We're not going to help this situation. And also, she knows, hey, these kids are undertrained. Let me get some more information. So that's basically what's going on, is we're seeing the battle from both the American side and the Korean side of this invasion to try to take over this place through this and battle this beach.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's very much similar, like we say, to the D-Day stuff, because it's kind of similar to, what, D-Day, there was the five beach landings, but then there was that other landing they did behind the enemy line to try and take out the artillery cannons during D-Day. This is that battle, essentially. And it's one of those things where I do appreciate a lot of the filmmaking stuff about how they shot the battle portions of this, because, I mean, that's a good 80 to 90% of this movie is the Korean soldiers and their conflict. And it's honestly pretty darn strong as, like, it's one of the things where it's a big ensemble piece where it's showing the camaraderie between these soldiers and the hardships they go through. And while it's not, like, a wholly original, there's some stuff that's very derivative of other war films, it's all very earnestly done and very well put together on the whole.
It's definitely taking, especially, like I said, I didn't bring up D-Day because, oh, you know, that's just a common war movie to bring up. Or, sorry, I was in Private Ryan. That's a common war movie record. It's like, no, the literal them trying to get to the beach is very, very reminiscent to the extent where, if you remember, like, the soldiers under trying to swim and getting shot underwater, it's doing that kind of stuff.
At one point, they do the frame rate blur as well, just like in, say, Brett Ryan, when one guy gets shell-shocked and you see, like, the video image, like, blur and slow down around him. Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like, yeah, they're doing a lot of that stuff. They're definitely trying to pay homage to those kinds of movies. But this is probably one of my favorite depictions of war because we're so used to, like, every single war thing of, oh, everyone's behind trenches and just keep firing, whatever. And what this does, and there's a lot of great shots where I don't know how they managed to do this one tracking shot, because it's like, it is just dirty. It is grimy. It is like, we're firing a bullet maybe, or we're just using this as a club. Like, it is downright like, this isn't heroic. This isn't an action movie. This is like, what the hell is going on? You don't know whose side is on who. You don't know where anyone is. There's no clear lines. You could tell which side is on because they have enough different uniforms. But like, you can see how messy it is to be down there. And the way they get the camera almost bouncing in, like you, the audience, are in the middle of the fight. It is just terrifying because you don't know where anything is coming from.
Oh, yeah. No, that whole sequence when they do the big trench battle, I think it's like the second battle into the film. That's probably the single best part of the movie in terms of action and that such, because it's so grimy. It's almost like watching a Civil War battle from like the American Civil War, where they just get hand-to-hand, punching each other, stabbing each other, like brutal combat. And it worked really, really well on the whole.
It's playing in a way, not like, oh, let's just put some hard rock music, make it action. It's like, no, it's playing in like, this is like violent and disturbing. Like, you should be really upset, because they met one of my favorite things about this movie is they're not necessarily trying to say like, oh man, let's just do what we typically do in these kinds of movies. The bad guys are super villainous and the good guys are super good. It's like, no, the good guys are incompetent and just terrified because they're like fucking 17. I didn't know these kids are 18. Like they don't really give an age, but they're clearly on the young side.
I mean, some of them, they look like they pretty much established like high school age almost.
Yeah. And the bad guys, it's like, they're still people. They're just the enemy, and you can tell they're probably better trained, or maybe they just have better weapons or just better tactics. But like, you could tell it's like they're still kind of people too. They don't focus so much on, I believe it's the South Koreans are fighting, or no, they're fighting the North Koreans.
Yeah, it's the South Korean army versus the North Korean army in this case. Yeah. And that's one of the big things that, it really tries to put a conflict and a viewpoint of like humanizing both sides. Although it's more or less clear the way that they depicted that they are trying to show the North Koreans being much less favorable. Like, at most, they humanize a few of the individuals within the army, but any other time they show North Koreans, they're more or less orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Not necessarily, because they're not trying to, they're not bloodthirsty. They're very efficient. They're almost, I want to say, they're almost like, they're very, very what you'd expect typical soldiers to be. They're in formation. They're all firing. They're all doing their thing. They're not doing the thing where at no point does some random helpless woman get like almost raped by a soldier and someone has to save it. That's it. Apparently in every fucking war movie does that. They manage to avoid this one.
Yeah, but they do, there is a very big like, oh, the communists are evil storyline throughout this. Although they try to downplay that with some of the, well, I mean, they keep saying throughout it, we got to go kill the communists.
But that's not showing the communists are evil. They're basically trying to, the propaganda of, hey, they're evil commies, to dehumanize them. It's a dehumanizing technique that ends up being, is a way to basically make these student soldiers who've only had like a week of training to be more ready to kill, of like, oh, they're bad, they're going to destroy everything. Like, it's a way to monsterize them. But that's one of my favorite things about the movie is they don't ever sit there and try to make the enemy bloodthirsty. They just like, hey, the enemy's just doing their job. If we saw the movie from their perspective, it might almost be the same kind of movie.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, I still think that it was a little bit more leaning towards South Koreans being the good guys, but there is at least one, probably the best scene of trying to humanize them, which was admittedly a scene they entirely ripped off from Letters to Iwo Jima, but when they read that one letter from North Korean soldier probably into the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, there's like, a lot of this movie where it's like, hey, Letters to Iwo Jima. It's like, literally even some portions of Saving Private Ryan with letters where it's like, hey, we're trying to invoke emotion, you know?
Yeah, and so that's why I'm saying, like, this movie is competently made on the whole, and the guy who directed it is a guy named Kyung Tak Kwak, I think is his name. He's mostly done very, like, small dramatic films on the whole, so this is kind of his, maybe not his first, but one of his biggest ventures in doing, like, action movies or big-scale dramas like this.
And he knows how to set up. He knows how to set up and fill a scene, because, like, this is a situation where it's like, I don't know if I've ever said this on any sort of whatever, but I can't stand Saving Private Ryan. Oh, sorry, not Saving Private Ryan, Hacksaw Ridge. I think Hacksaw Ridge is a cartoon that pretends to be a serious movie, and especially some of the war scenes they depict, I think it's violent for violence sake, because there's people just falling apart. I'm like, that's not how guns work. That's not how war works.
I know people went to war, and I'm just saying that that's not
like the first kill you see, and this person just might as well just fucking melt. Like, that's not how bullets work. Whereas with this sequence, it's like, not only is it grimy and close and shaky, you can still kind of see what's going on, but it is very violent, but it's also realistically violent. People are getting shot in a realistic fashion. People are getting blown up in a realistic fashion. People aren't just flying across the screen like you see in every war movie. Like, when they step on mines, when they get hit by grenades, like, it all feels really interesting. It's actually making me hype to see 1917, honestly.
Well, 1917 looks like it to me. Well, and that's actually kind of the one of the things I want to say that is slightly to the movie's disadvantage, is that compared to 1917, which looks like a big budget, big scale action movie, this one, you can kind of see the budget show a little bit during some of those action sequences. Like,
but they do a lot with it, which is what I really, really enjoy, especially like the bigger like charging scenes where I'm like, you're doing some really creative stuff. You tell there's a low budget, but it's like, it doesn't feel like it in some of the shots.
Eh, sometimes. I mean, but there's still, on the whole, what helps save this movie, even though, like, none of the characters are entirely original to the story, but I thought all the actors playing the main Korean soldiers were all pretty good, you know?
Oh,
like, 100%. Especially, my favorite character, actually, was this one guy who is a defector from the North Korean army who joins the South Korean forces, and there's a whole element to his story that I feel like really, really paid off in terms of, like, the most dramatic and emotional stuff throughout the story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's another character where it's like there's these two people that have camaraderie and they're basically kind of fighting alongside each other. I'm like, I really like this because one of the things in this movie is they don't ever sit there and try to be like, oh, let's sit there and stop the movie to explain all these characters. So when people are just like action scenes are happening, since you start off like the first action, you really don't really establish any characters. So you have no idea if a character you kind of enjoyed just died. Like, you do not know until this battle's over, which is kind of how war works. It's like, you don't know if the person you've been talking to is dead until, hey, the fucking noise has stopped and we gotta see who the fuck's still alive.
Yeah, and yeah, it still worked. I mean, it's just, it is very traditional war movie stuff for a lot of it. But it's not the worst about it. Now, having said all this, there is one giant problem with this movie that we have to address, and that is anytime they cut back to the Americans in this movie.
No. Anytime they cut back to Megan Fox, because everyone else is doing their jobs.
Well,
Megan
I mean, Fox, honestly, like, you know, any of the scenes that move, because most of the American scenes are with George Eads and Megan Fox, and George Eads is trying. I mean, he's not the greatest actor ever. I like him ever since Saw Him in CSI, but he's just playing a very typical, like, you know, I'm a Southern war, you know, Southern soldier kind of thing, and I do my job. But, man, Megan Fox in this movie, one, you could have cut out all of her scenes and it wouldn't have affected the plot of this movie at all.
Yeah, it would have shortened the movie, honestly.
It would have, yeah, it would have made the movie shorter. And pretty much like you said at the start of this, before we started recording, you kept waiting for that moment to say, well, maybe we just haven't seen Megan Fox in her fullness of being an actress kind of thing. And yeah, anytime they cut back to her, you're just like, nope, that's all she's got.
Well, because the thing is, the only thing we've ever seen her in are Transformers movies and Eternal movies. And we're like, oh, okay, no one's a good actor in those movies. So it's like, well, this is a chance. We finally get to see her do something that doesn't require her to strip down. She's actually wearing, like, you know, period-appropriate clothing. She looks really good, professional.
She looks like Peggy Carter from Captain America.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. But then as soon as she starts talking, you're like, oh God, oh my God.
Yeah, and again, the dialogue they wrote for the English sections is not very good at all, but it really feels like they could have elevated more if they had tried, and she just wasn't up to the task for that.
Definitely. And it's weird because it's like they must have picked her for some sort of American appeal, because I'm like, why would you pick her? Because her line reading is quite terrible. There's a scene where she's like, I covered wars before. I'm like, have you? Have you covered wars? I don't
believe
you.
Yeah, she really sold that. I have to wonder, like, I mean, it shouldn't be just for international appeal, because Megan Fox isn't really quite as popular as she used to be. So I have to assume maybe she's just really popular in Korea. Like, maybe they just really like her over there.
I mean, probably. Transformers super popular in, you know, a lot of the regions of the world, so they're probably just selling the movie on her as well. They're like, oh, I recognize her from those movies that do really well in that region. So that's the only thing I can think of, because honestly, she's probably the only face you'll recognize in here. Unless you happen to be a huge fan of Korean film and they use some of the same actors, I don't see you really going, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, no, and most of the Korean actors, I'm sure I may recognize some of them if I look at their credits, but I couldn't tell you who's who in the cast in terms of, have I seen them in a Korean movie before? Which,
exactly.
Admittedly, I've actually seen quite a few Korean films this last year because of the show. So, but yeah, this is just one of those things where I'm still very much on the fence of how much I truly enjoyed the movie, because on the whole, by the time it was over, I did really like it. I liked a lot of it. At the same time, I thought about it after the fact, where I'm like, on a scale of like the best war movies I've seen, like, say, Letters to Iwo Jima, Saving Private Ryan, those kind of films, and some of the worst ones, this falls somewhere more in, like, the higher middle range kind of stuff that I've seen. Like, I would say it's closer to something like Flags of Our Fathers in terms of, like, good war movies, not great.
I'm actually kind of the opposite. I really, really enjoyed this. Like, yeah, obviously, I think I don't hate the American parts as much as you do. I think I hate Megan Fox as much as you do, because I was like, you are just kind of filling air right now. But whenever they cut to the soldiers, which is the majority of this movie, this is a situation where it's like 90% of the Americans, 10% of the Korean soldiers. It's actually the opposite. It's 90% battle scenes, and it's 10% just the other stuff, because we got to add in some extra American narrative. But like, I like how they humanize both sides. I like how they treated war the way it is. Not just a bunch of strong, burly men fighting for your rights. It's like, no, it's just a bunch of kids that, and you see their stories, and in some cases, they were forced to be here because of family stuff, or they're just doing this for revenge, or everyone signed up for a reason that feels realistic. The propaganda got to some characters. Some characters are doing it for their family. Some characters are doing it for revenge, and it's like everybody there felt there. And then when you're seeing the battles, you're never sure if the side that you've been seeing the whole time is going to ever survive any battle, because they're not these expert marksman assassins. They're kind of terrible, but they're decent enough to get through the scene. So you're like, I cannot believe they survived this.
Yeah, they're more motivated than they're experienced, kind of thing.
Yeah. And you see that, and it's one of the things, like, if you know anything about history, that a motivated soldier is better than a good soldier.
It's yeah.
You'll see that's like in fucking letters, in journals, like people talk about farmers defending their land and how like strong they can be, because it's like you see that and you're like, you're always surprised every battle they survive, because it's just through the skin of their teeth they're surviving.
Which, to be fair, anytime they win a battle, like it feels like anytime they do any kind of movement or any kind of charge in this movie, like 12 or 20 people get gunned down immediately on the South Korean side. It's just like
dark.
That's the thing. It's like, is anybody going to make it out of this movie?
And the thing is, it's like, I'll try not to overemphasize the darkness, but like, you think at the end of it, oh boy, man, we did it. Everyone's just kind of like, what?
They're just like, that was awful. And, kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's so dark because you're like, because you know they're not going to get any sort of like reward or pay. Some cases they barely get to eat and you're just like, fucking A, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, and that's a big reason why apparently this is, you know, it's largely based on a real battle that actually happened, this whole thing. And for a long time, because it was such a disaster, you know, in some ways, like, I'm not going to say, I know Alan's on here, so I'm not going to say what exactly happens throughout the story. But it is one of those things where this story was largely forgotten because it was just such a footnote and such a, you know, bungle in terms of how, because seriously, by the time they actually arrive on the shore after the initial beach landing, they have like no water, no food, barely any ammo, like second-rate weapons, like hand-me-downs from the Americans, pretty much.
Oh, it looks like. You see that, and you're just like, what? It's almost like your situation is like, wait, is this really the 50s? These guys are using like Ross rifles and shit. Until you realize, oh, they just grab whatever freaking thing could fire a bullet and hand it to them.
Pretty much. I mean, and that feels like a case where it really was where, because these guys are student soldiers, they got all the hand-me-downs, while the actual, you know, South Korean military and the actual soldiers there got more of the proper weaponry. Kind of
and stuff. You definitely see that. Like, they don't ever have to point that out. Wait, we have such a weaponry. You just see that in the battle formations. You see that, like, it's like, again, you see that with how the South Koreans are, like, lined up as proper soldiers, whereas the student soldiers spend 90% of the movie charging. And it's like, that's just because they're doing what little they were taught. They weren't taught properly.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, with this movie is that, I mean, saying that it is dark and that stuff, it's also incredibly sentimental through a lot of it. Like, there's a lot of big, like, sweeping orchestral score and big monologue moments about this movie where it's like, a little of it can go a long way. It never got overkill, except for maybe a little bit at the very end where they have an obligatory scene at the very end. You're just like, yeah, most war movies do something like this kind of thing. Yeah. But it wasn't awful. It was just very familiar, I would say.
If you're a fan of war, if you're a fan of like kind of historical movies, and we're like looking at Saving Private Ryan, going, eh, you'll probably enjoy this more than you not, because again, to me, this does have, compared to Hacksaw Ridge, which is a fucking cartoon at times, this is definitely for me a way better depiction of war, because it shows the grittiness, it shows the camaraderie, it shows the sentimentalness, but it just kind of also shows how violently disturbing any battle scene can be. It's like look at that Wonder Woman's fucking No Man's Land. That made it look like it was a cartoon. Whereas this, it's like this is what No Man's Land would have been like.
I mean, I can't really compare Wonder Woman to this, because those are very different movies. But you know, I will say that yes, this is probably a more gritty, real depiction of war movies. But I would say Hacksaw Ridge, which, you know, I personally like better than this, it is a much better made movie. This one is a good movie. It's like, it's kind of on the level, like, again, it's like a B movie you would see from like the 70s or the 80s for American war films. Like, you know, like those ones that were just almost there, like, I don't want to say, what was that film, like Hamburger Hill and those kind of films. It's just, it's good. It's a very solid, fun war film, especially, I mean, you know, I don't know how many people here would know much about Korean War or South Korean history, but I have to say too, I don't think I've seen many movies about the Korean War, and definitely not any film from the perspective of the South Koreans, you know, outside of just the Americans or something like that. So I will give credit to that this is actually something unique in terms of a war that most Americans really don't know a lot about. kind of thing.
Yeah, and it definitely does showcase that. It just doesn't really go into America, so it's like, if you're one of those like gung-ho patriots, you're probably gonna be like, what the hell, the Americans did nothing. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of how, hey, guess what, that's kind of what America does in a lot of its wars.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like the other battle, the Battle of Ichion, that's the main invasion, was a predominantly American fought battle in that case. But again, this is covering something that's very specific to the South Koreans, and I think that's totally fine. They totally just, yep, they can have that kind of movie just as much as we can have our kind of American movies. So I actually do appreciate seeing movies like this, because even that one I reviewed last time with Davey, The Great Battle, which was all about South Korea, well, I guess at the time, all of Korea's battle against the Chinese invading their peninsula, that was a great freaking action movie. Like, I gotta recommend that one to you, especially if you like big, high-flying, you know, medieval-style action sequences.
Really?
It's really, really good. So yeah, that, you know, again, that's a very different movie compared to this one. So I think we've talked enough about this. Like, well, I mean, yeah. You know, I'll go first, leave you have the last thought on this one. Because, again, I don't want to sound like I'm just being negative on this. I do think this was very enjoyable. I've seen better war movies. And I think it's not even any fault of the actors or the director, per se. It's just that it is one of those ones where it's given less of a budget than they probably could have had for this movie. But, and honestly, it's just the problem, too, of just having Megan Fox and Georgie show up in this movie. They just literally... they don't even factor into the story of the movie until the very last, like, 10 minutes. It's one of those things that they keep hinting on, like, oh, right, you can't wait until they get involved with the main plot, right? And it's like, yeah, but by the time they show up, they weren't even needed. You didn't even need to have them in this movie. So that was just a very notable problem that stuck throughout this movie. But otherwise, it is a solid film. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 crazy palm leaf things that the North Koreans were wearing on their suits.
Yeah, as far as for me, it's like, yeah, again, maybe I do have at this point with Screen Squad has just told me to have low expectations for everything, but watching this, it's just, it quickly got to the point where I'm like, I'm liking what they're doing. I'm liking how they're focusing on the trying to do what realistic war ends up being. It's not clean. There are times where, hey, you're on your boat on your way there, you might not even make it there. Like, they don't even make it to the ship to land. They got to do halfway through with what little they got. And it's like, when you're dealing with big war, especially back then, it's like, that's kind of how it was. You really just dealt with whatever you had. And war is always going to be like dirty and grimy. You're never going to have a clean war. This isn't like, I do like, because a lot of action movies, a lot of war movies just kind of make it seem like it's just like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. With this, like, no, this shows a lot of the dirtiness. I like a lot of the characters. I like how it showcased them. I like that I got a lot of their stories, and I got the sense of who they were as the movie went on. It had its peaks and valleys, but it worked for the movie really well. And yeah, there's only a few things that I'd say like weren't that good, most of which was when it wasn't on the beaches. I was like, yeah, but it's short enough. This is an hour and 41 minute movie. This isn't like a 3-hour movie. So it's like, as much as there are parts that you probably won't enjoy, it doesn't last long enough for you to be bored of the movie.
No, it honestly goes by at a very fast pace in overall in the movie.
Yeah. So as far as my rating, I'm going to give 8 out of 10 rice and seawater dishes.
Oh!
Felt so bad for them.
Man, there was that one dude who was just shoveling down rice, just like, look, if I don't eat this, I'm not going to eat anything. And I'm just
exactly.
Like...
Okay.
And I got to say, actually, probably my favorite, like, funny moment in this whole movie, because they just have a few moments of comedy here and there, but...
You have to, man. Like, there's a couple... You got to relieve it a little bit.
Yeah, but my favorite one, that thing with a landmine that they could stumble across at one point.
Yo, what the fuck? That was so, like, yo.
Yeah, I won't say what other than that. Just wait until you see that scene and see how it pays off.
You're going to want to knock somebody out as soon as you see that scene.